This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 24th November 2023. Hello. And welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 23rd of November 2023. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are: thousands celebrate as Christmas lights up, large cannabis factory found in nightclub raid, and celebrations as student mark start of new lives. So we start with the first headline story.
Thousands celebrate as Christmas lights up. The festive season has officially started in Winchester, with the Christmas lights switched on by local heroes. Staff and volunteers from Winchester Hospice had the honour of switching on the lights this year after winning a public vote. Thousands of people gathered in the Broadway for the big moment. After the lights, which illuminate the Guildhall and High Street, were turned on, Winchester Hospice clinical matron Donna Coombs said, "I feel honoured and privileged. I'm so incredibly proud of the team and what we've achieved this year. But for me, our heroes are the people we look after. They inspire me every day, but also the local community, who are my ultimate heroes because they're the people who've supported us with our charity to enable us to do what we're doing today." The hospice has been open for 2 years now, and in that time we've cared for more than 1,000 patients. It's really important to us to enhance the quality of care. It's about making sure our patients' needs are met and they feel supported. There are so many charity events we've been doing. My message to the community is, come and join us. What was great at the switch-on was it wasn't just the clinical team. There were nurses, healthcare assistants, and lots of volunteers. I'm just so overwhelmed. The event featured a range of local performers, including Hairstock Primary School Choir, the Pilgrim School Chamber Choir, Winchester A Cappella Integrated Dance, Theatre Royal Winchester, Spitfire Sisters, Rock Choir, and Diva Academy. Winchester Business Improvement District Executive Director Paul Spencer said, "We run a local heroes competition every year, and members of the public can vote for people that they think are doing really special things in our community. The hospice got a huge number of votes, and the Winchester community wanted to see them up on that stage to celebrate and all the great things that they do. This is the event that kickstarts Christmas in Winchester. We turn on the lights and have lots of local performers up on stage. The market then opens, and that is the start of the festive season, with lots going on until the big day on the 25th. People enjoyed the snow globe in the square, with donations being made to Spare Change for Lasting Change. Winchester's BID, BIDS, charity scheme, which aims to help reduce street begging and rough sleeping in the city by supporting two local homelessness charities, Trinity Winchester and the Winchester Beacon."
Large cannabis factory found in nightclub raid. A large cannabis factory growing scores of plants has been found inside a city centre nightclub. Police raided Vodka in Upper Brook Street in the early hours of Monday, November the 20th, breaking down wooden gates at the back entrance in a small yard behind. And for those who know this area, That vodka nightclub is about 20 paces from the building from which we're recording this, but we feel perfectly safe. Inside, officers discovered a large number of cannabis plants at various stages of growth. They seized all plants and said they would be destroyed once an investigation is carried out. The news has shocked Winchester, as many were expecting the 700 capacity venue to reopen after it closed in May 2023. At the time, one of the co-owners told the Chronicle, "We're closing for a refurb, which is something we do every year. It's just time to freshen the place up." They confirmed that the club, which is popular with university students and ran many themed nights, would reopen in September, but it has remained closed after students returned for this term, prompting questions on its future from residents, authorities, and students alike, particularly as only last year it applied successfully for permission to stay open until 4 a.m., an application which attracted opposition from residents nearby who feared it would bring an increase in antisocial behaviour. The warrant on Monday was carried out by officers from the Winchester Priority Crime Team, Neighbourhood Policing Team, Criminal Investigation Department, Joint Operations Unit, Licensing and Intelligence Operations. A video released by Hampshire Police shows officers dramatically breaking down the gate during the raid. Police officers remained at the scene throughout Monday and Tuesday. A 54-year-old man from Winchester was arrested on suspicion of producing a controlled drug of Class B and acquiring or using or possessing criminal property. He has been bailed with conditions until February the 20th, whilst police inquiries continue. After the raid on Monday, Inspector Matt Kirby said, "We will continue to investigate what we have found today to bring those responsible to justice. The reason we take this kind of thing so seriously is because any production of drugs is linked to hidden harm. Large-scale operations are often run by organised crime groups who are often connected to very serious violence. Finally, we are very aware that our actions took place in a busy city centre. We have tried to minimise disruption as much as possible, and we would like to thank the local community for their patience. The owners of Vodka Nightclub have been contacted for comment, but so far have not responded."
Celebrations as students mark start of new lives. The University of Winchester held graduation ceremonies last week. More than 2,000 University of Winchester students celebrated their academic achievements at a series of joyous graduation ceremonies. Winchester Cathedral hosted 11 ceremonies attended by more than 8,000 guests. Vice-Chancellor Professor Sarah Greer congratulated the students on their achievements and also reminded them of the important parts their parents and loved ones and university staff had played in their success. She urged the graduates to go out into the world and make a difference. She said, "You bring so much to the important task of creating a fairer, more humane and civilised society." The ceremonies also mark the achievements of some inspirational individuals recognised with honorary doctorates and fellowships. Honorary doctorates were awarded to Samira Ahmed, journalist and broadcaster, Lord Nigel Crisp, KCB, a former chief executive of NHS England, Andrew Lumsden, the renowned organist and choirmaster at Winchester Cathedral, Clive Myrie, TV news reporter, Lord Mark Price, a former managing director of Waitrose, and Wendy Searle, the seventh woman to ski solo to the South Pole. Honorary fellowships were awarded to Dr. John Akers, who founded the Wessex Global Health Network, Joe Cottrell, a national leader in education who became executive head of the University of Winchester Academy Trust. Sue Hill, Queen's nurse and chair of the Royal College of Nursing's Community Nursing Forum. Derek Newland, chief executive of Play to the Crowd. And Jonathan Whittingsteel, a partner at Dutton Gregory Solicitors. The pro-chancellors for the ceremonies were Mary Edwards, Chair of Governors, Captain Andrew Robinson, Vice-Chair of the Governors, Governor Edward Rashid, and Alan Titchmarsh, who's the Chancellor Emeritus.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Bursman, Brigitte Bursman, on the 28th of October, aged 65. Broughton, Karen Jennifer Broughton, at home on the 13th of November, aged 76. Coffey, Jean Mary Coffey, on the 30th of October, aged 93. Della, Kenneth Della, on the 13th of November, aged 90, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. Ford, Sandra, known as Sandy Ford, no dates are given. Eggleston, Beryl Annie May Eggleston, on the 8th of November, aged 89. Johnson, Gillian Ann, known as Jill Johnson, on the 9th of November, aged 83. And Johnson, John Timothy, known as Johnny Johnson, on the 18th of November. Randall, Marjorie Randall, on the 20th of October, aged 92. Scott, Roy Scott, at Winchester Hospice, on the 9th of November, aged 87. Tennant, Wendy Tennant, at Southampton General Hospital, on the 6th of November, aged 86. Vining, Valerie Ann, known as Val Vining, on the 15th of November, aged 80. Wallace, Leslie Edgar Wallace, on the 11th of November, aged 93. And now we have Christian comment.
And it's by Moira Redman and entitled Choosing Your Words. In my church group recently, we had a fascinating discussion around the question, what memorable advice has anyone given you? Note that I've used the word memorable, not good. As the chat went round the table, some people mentioned advice that we had our doubts about. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Weren't we all told that when we were young? With good intentions, of course, most children get it when they're complaining to a parent about being called names. Grown-ups helpfully tell you that you can safely ignore insults, just take no notice. Honestly, it's a nice story, but words can hurt you a lot, and we accept that a lot more these days. Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of the US President Franklin D. Roosevelt, was famed for her writings and advice. One of her ideas is this: no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. This is helpful and bracing, and always worth repeating to yourself. Although the next thing that comes into my head is the friend who said, yes, well, Eleanor Roosevelt plainly didn't go to my school. Which is funny, but you also know what she means. School children have an unmatched ability to find and home in on each other's weak points. Most people will have memories of something that was said at school that still hurts many years later. Sticks and stones would have been long forgotten. When my children were young, at school and nursery, they were told, use your words. The context was, if you feel angry or upset, Say what has happened. Don't either bottle it up or hit out physically at the other person. Again, good advice. Although I worry that children vary so much in their articulacy, and surely there are times when a child will use their words to crush the other child just as much as a blow would. There's another famous quote, usually attributed to the US poet Maya Angelou, but she may have heard it elsewhere. People will forget what you said. They will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So maybe that's it. It's not necessarily either the words or the deeds that matter, but it is the intention and the feelings. We've all had a time when we said something mean or clever because it was funny, because we had the chance, because it was there, either to the person concerned or behind their backs. And then afterwards, when everyone has laughed or nodded, that bad feeling inside you, you wish you hadn't said it, like Jane Austen's Emma, who was rude to Miss Bates. It's something we have to learn. Being clever and being funny isn't everything. Some of us have to work on holding back, being more thoughtful. Be nice if you can, but at least don't be horrible. There's enough accidental hurt in the world without doing it deliberately. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says, "Be kind and tender-hearted one to another, and forgive one another, as God has forgiven you through Christ." In a world where you can be anything, be kind.
Next, we have the letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL, that's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We've 9 letters this week, and we'll start off with the first one,
which is entitled I beg your pardon, which is entitled Speaking Out, and is from P.V. Ward. Eileen Berry, Chronicle Letters, November the 9th, refers to one of the more cheerful aspects of human behaviour, describing some Nepalese celebrating their own culture whilst showing respect for this country. Danny Habel refers to a person or persons commemorating Licoricea, the Jewish lady, but goes on to say that, quote, "there is too much noise created by bullies in this world," unquote. Whatever your faith, or if you claim to have no faith, you are unlikely to disagree with the warning by Jesus that, quote, "you shall hear of wars and rumours of wars," unquote. And he goes on to say that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Nation in this context means people group. What we have seen in this country recently is people group against people group. There is a much quoted statement by Martin Niemöller, who was imprisoned by the Nazis for several years. It comes in more than one version, but the principle is the same. He starts off by saying that when Hitler attacked the Jews, I wasn't a Jew, therefore I was not concerned. Niemöller goes on to list many groups attacked by Hitler, but always concludes, "but I was not concerned." He continues, "then Hitler attacked me and there was nobody left to be concerned." When I was a young lad living in war-torn Portsmouth, with the bomb damage all about us and being aware of what Hitler did, we used to wonder, could it ever happen here? The answer is that unless we act now, something similar could develop. We have seen the Jews intimidated and attacked in this country. We have also seen our war memorials and cenotaphs desecrated. A poppy seller was knocked to the ground in Edinburgh, and three poppy sellers were intimidated in London. Unless we speak out, matters will not stop there. That letter is from P.V. Ward, Nelson Road, Highcliffe, Winchester.
This next letter is about the Bushfield debate, and it's from Jock MacDonald. Richard Baker, Chronicle Letters, November the 9th, and the warnings at the end of your editorial comment of the same date are absolutely correct. This planning application by the church commissioners for Bushfield Camp is not right for Winchester. In a general sense, the world is moving on very fast indeed, and the application belongs to another era. In the context of Winchester, the traffic that it would cause is quite unacceptable, and much that it proposes in the way of knowledge, research and development could be profitably placed within the city. If Bushfield is regarded as ripe for development because it is a brownfield site, what is really needed in this part of the world, and in Winchester too, a point made about a month ago by your correspondent Janet Budd, is housing, particularly low-cost and rented housing. Unfortunately, for this to happen, there is a mismatch in the management of the Church of England. The Archbishop of Canterbury correctly writes about the evils of our present obsession with mammon. On the other hand, the church commissioners are wedded to that very obsession with mammon because, understandably, they have to pay out pensions and look after much scarcely used real estate. Really, the Church of England needs to rethink totally how to do the good work that it rightly aims to do, which would include support for good, new, affordable housing for people to live in. As for Bushfield, apart from providing pleasant, sustainable accommodation, housing there would need to fit into the landscape, have the necessary communal buildings, but absolutely eschew anything that remotely resembles high-rise. This application for a muddled, out-of-date white elephant must not be given the go-ahead. And that's the view of Jock MacDonald from Stockbridge Road in Full Flood, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Simon Lever, headed Protect Nature. Revised proposals for Bushfield Camp have presented plans for extensive and intrusive multi-storey structures and 1,000 cars. Badger Farm Road cannot cope with current levels of traffic, Chronicle November the 16th. Much of the local natural environment will be destroyed. The beautiful avenue of trees is right on the former camp's border. For current and future generations, natural areas need to be protected. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
No improvement, writes Monica Gill. I read with interest the letter in the Chronicle from Mr. Perkins on November the 9th regarding the toilets in Winchester. I was at the cabinet meeting referred to by Mr. Perkins at which he and Ian Tate spoke regarding the condition of public toilets. This meeting took place at the beginning of the year, and here we are nearly a year on, and there has been no visible improvement, despite the responder implying that this was in hand. I visited the toilets behind Greg's last week, and there was soiled toilet paper on the floor of cubicles, wet floors in general, a disgrace. In fact, I overheard comments from users remarking on the disgusting state. Instead of spending money on King's Walk and erecting a cycle rack in the main car park, which only seems to house shopping trolleys, the council would have earned more brownie points if that money had been spent on refurbishing toilets. The best toilets in town are in the Guildhall, a civic building which appears to be a no-go area both to residents and visitors, but one that would be of interest to tourists. That letter is from Monica Gill, Lawn Street, Winchester.
This letter is about parking permits and it's from Shirley Smith. I'm writing to complain about the new method of obtaining a parking permit from the County Council. I require a visitor's permit. There must be other people like myself who do not have a computer or smartphone, without which one cannot join the new scheme. I would like to return to the old method. I want a disc to hand to my visitors to display in their cars. It can then be returned to me for use by my next visitors. And that letter is from Shirley Smith, Cannon Street in Winchester.
Parking permits, a letter from Bill Ledbetter. So, Hampshire County Council has taken back parking permit responsibility from our local council. In their wisdom, they've decided to move online with parking permits. No more hard copies in the windscreen. This means the traffic wardens now have to search online for parking permission for each vehicle, enter a registration, and await a response. This cannot be more efficient than looking at windscreen permits. I'm watching two wardens walking to and fro, looking at their little screen things. I'd estimate it takes at least twice as long this way. It also means that those of us who do pay for permits have no means of recognising or reporting non-permitted vehicles. I'd like to see the reasoning behind this new system. And this is from Bill Ledbetter, Highcliffe Road, Winchester.
This letter is entitled Housing Plans, and it's from Councillor Caroline Horrill, who is leader of the Conservative group, Winchester City Council. The Liberal Democrats claim to support the objective of delivering 1,000 new affordable homes in the district. An objective introduced by us when we were running the City Council and supported by a new homes team to deliver the much needed homes. So why did they vote against their own council scheme to deliver 8 new homes in Dyson Drive, Abbots Barton, recently? Apparently, because they believed the open space was more valuable than the homes, and there was insufficient mitigation offered. What a complete shambles and an absolute waste of public money bringing the decision forward and then rejecting it themselves. However, don't be fooled. In the current draft local plan, they propose building tens of new homes on green fields instead of brown in our district. When the Liberals knock your door over the coming weeks, ask them whether they are for homes or open space and green fields in the district. I doubt you'll get a straight answer, but we've seen them in their true light. So writes Councillor Caroline Horrell, leader of the Conservative group.
Cancer campaign. Sarah Baker in Hampshire. My petition calling for improved diagnosis of prostate cancer has now reached over 800 signatures. I've been in contact with Nick Jones, founder of Soho House, who is campaigning to get MRI screening rolled out. Thankfully, my husband had his prostate removed and is in remission. If I hadn't had a back injury, I would not have heard about prostate screening on Times Radio, and my husband would have had cancer throughout his body. The male population has to be looked after, and in the long run, if MRI screening is rolled out on an industrial scale, like breast cancer, then the cost to our health system will be less than ongoing care for surgery. And that's Sarah Baker in Hampshire.
No excuse for trapped lorries, and this is from Trevor Piper. I note on page 2 of the Chronicle, November the 16th, that once again there was an HGV lorry stuck on one of the narrow bridges on Kiln Lane near the garden centre at Brambridge. This is almost a weekly occurrence and causes much disruption on this busy, poorly maintained, potholed commuter road. This should not happen. There are narrow bridges, unsuitable for HGVs and 3-ton weight limit signs at either end of this narrow road. It beggars belief that drivers still ignore these signs and still try to get through. They're probably following their sat-nav instead of looking at the road. There is no excuse. I certainly hope that the police prosecute the drivers with exposures of the negligence in the press, but I doubt it. What is needed is much larger signage to warn of the perils to HGVs turning into Kiln Lane on Otterbourne Road and Highbridge Road, and I hope that the HGV owners are made to repair the damage to the bridges instead of, as I suspect, the council taxpayers having to pay for the repairs yet again. And that is from Trevor Piper, Skintle Green, Colden Common.
That concludes the letters, and we next have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial, and that will be followed by First Person.
So, the editorial comment this week, the headline is, "How did a club turn into a drug factory?" For months, the Chronicle has been keeping an eye on our office neighbour, the city's biggest nightclub, Vodka. In May, a social media post said it would be the club's last night. Cheap drinks for all. Students across the city were quick to protest about how much they would miss it. Only a year before, the club had caused controversy by applying successfully to extend its licence to 4 a.m. Nearby residents raised concerns of antisocial behaviour. It was a shock that the club would be calling time so soon after all that effort, but generally accepted that Winchester clearly had better things to do than staying awake until 4 a.m. The co-owner, Lee Davies, reassured reporters that it would be back, that it was simply shutting for a summer refurb while all the students were away. September and Freshers' Week rolled around, and there was no sign of life. Even its cash machine had been switched off. Lee didn't answer his phone. The gates at the back, installed last summer during the COVID years, were locked shut until the early hours of Monday morning, that is. What led to the premises being used as a drug factory remains to be seen. But what will be interesting is how it operated under everyone's noses for so long.
And this week's first person is Improving Newspapers by Kimberly Barber. How to improve a printed newspaper? That has been operating for more than 250 years. That's what usually wakes me up at 2 a.m. Among the many other niggly worries that cross a newspaper editor's mind, this is probably one of the nicer problems to have. There's something about print, the feel of the paper, the smell and the physicality of it. But what makes you stop in the shop and want to pick one up? And then what makes you come back for more? Particularly now, in the modern age, when the newspaper has a brilliant, even if I do say so myself, digital edition and up-to-the-minute website. We push our digital subscription packages, encouraging readers to sign up to pay a monthly fee, which many loyal readers do, thank you. But that gives them even better access to the website, fewer ads, and a replica of the printed newspaper on screen. So what can we do to make sure people still actually want to go out of their way to pick up a physical copy? That's all part of the modern-day conundrum that newspaper publishers face. And with the rush to keep up with technology to find a way to monetize local news online, the emphasis has for the last 10 years or more been on the web. How to display stories properly, what time to publish, which platform to use, which medium to use, plus many other matters. The focus has been on page views, the amount of people who click on each story. Each article is looked at. We know exactly how many people have read it, where they've come from, what they click next, how long they stay, plus much other data points. While that's nice to know and can help us to produce only the things that people want to read, it's also swept away any focus on print. With print, you can assess how many people have bought the paper. We can roughly guess that each paper is going to be read by 3 people, we think. But what they look at, how they enjoy it, is anyone's guess. We don't even know if it's flung in the bin. Recently, a panel of editors were brought together by NewsQuest to look at a whole range of matters that will improve the longevity of the printed product. Yes, print circulation is falling, that's no secret, and it has been for quite a few years, maybe even decades. But how do we make it not fall as fast as our competitors? How do we convince people to still go to the shop, to still hand over £1.50 each week? One of the parts of this project I've been leading is a print product review. With 200 plus newspapers, all with different styles, quirks and areas, this is a mammoth task. I've started close to home and recently carried out an internal review of my titles. I then held a reader panel made up of 9 trusted people who I know all regularly buy and read the printed version of the Chronicle. Thank you to those who took part. This was an eye-opener into what people like and don't like. And it has helped shape a few changes, just small things at the moment, that I hope will improve the enjoyment of you, the reader, as you work your way through the Chronicle. Note the new improved page 2 with a revived contents section, just one small thing. Some things will require a lot more work to change that cropped up, such as a question around puzzles and whether the 8-page puzzle supplement should survive in this post-pandemic world, and the overwhelming plea for more heritage and nostalgia content. I'm working on this. It was great to hear genuine readers' views, and if you would like to contribute anything, please do email me, kimberly.barber@newsquest.co.uk. I'm always open to suggestions. There will be a reader survey in the early part of next year. I hope some of you will fill it in. For now, it's brilliant to see a news organisation valuing and respecting the medium that's been around far longer than any other, and hopefully, with a bit of love, we can carry it through another 250 years.
There are no special announcements this week. Sunrise is around 7:30 in the morning. Sunset is around 4 p.m. in the afternoon. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you yourself have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now continue with further items of news.
Kick-off for football club's 1 million artificial pitch plan. Planners have unanimously approved a new artificial pitch for Winchester City Football Club. The scheme also includes floodlighting, new and relocated stands, a storage container, vehicle access, replacement and resurfacing of the existing parking area. Winchester City Council's Planning Committee permitted the plans for the city ground in Hillier Way at a meeting on Wednesday, November the 15th. The proposal was widely welcomed, with 112 supporting comments. It also received 10 objections. The planning officer's report stated the benefits of the development are compelling. proposed development is in accordance with the development plan, and there are no material considerations which would justify determining the application other than in accordance with the development plan. The application is therefore recommended for approval. The plan is for Winchester City Football Club and the Winchester City Flyers to use the facilities. The scheme has been in the pipeline for some time, with funding for it coming in part from Winchester City Council and the Football Foundation. The total cost is expected to be around £1 million. Winchester City Football Club currently plays in the Southern League Premier Division South after winning promotion in 2022. Councillor Kathleen Becker, Cabinet Member for Inclusion and Engagement, said, "We want to create a habit of physical activity among young people. Facilities like this can help. It will allow increased participation. Disability football requires an artificial pitch. Winchester City Flyers will also use the pitch. There has been difficulty finding space for pitches across the district. Existing facilities are fully booked all the time. The proposal is really important. I urge you to support this." John McLaren, who is on Winchester City's board of directors, said, "We have around 800 youth players. Team sport makes young people confident." Janek Platkowski said, "I've been a supporter for 25 years. The club has helped my mental health. I'm begging you to approve this." The committee had some environmental concerns, but Councillor Chris Edwards said, "I entirely get the social health, mental health and environmental benefits of this development to the people of Winchester." Councillor Brian Lamming said, "I know from experience that there is a huge shortage of all-weather pitches in Winchester, and that needs to be addressed as best we can." The committee permitted the scheme unanimously.
Royal visitor unveils plaque to open care home. The Duchess of Edinburgh has officially opened the St Giles View Care Home in Winchester. The Duchess, who is a patron of the Brendan Care Foundation, unveiled a plaque to mark the occasion on Tuesday, November the 14th. During her visit to the 60-bedroom care home in Quarry Road, the Duchess, accompanied by St Giles View team members, visited residents in the three households, all named after villages close to Winchester: Littleton, Sparsholt and Chilcombe. In the Sparsholt dining room, she took part in decorating a cake to celebrate the 75th birthday of the King, before joining Chilcombe household residents for afternoon tea. Marianne Wanstall, Brendan Care's chief executive, invited the Duchess to unveil the plaque. Mrs. Wanstall said, "We are delighted the Duchess could join us on such a joyous day." The Brendan Care Foundation is a Winchester-based charity which provides 7 care homes and 5 extra care housing developments. This article is accompanied by a lovely photograph of a smiling Duchess of Edinburgh sitting next to one of the residents, 96-year-old Bob King. And in front of them both is the most amazing cake. I think this is the one that she took part in decorating.
Thousands flock to Christmas market. Thousands of people came to see Winchester's famous Christmas market open. A wide range of stallholders greeted people as the market opened in the surroundings of Winchester Cathedral. It runs until Thursday, December the 21st. Freddie and Charlie Ebden from St Cross had a stall called Master Hors d'oeuvres. This is the first step. If all goes according to plan, we're going to try and do it full time, they said. Emma Searle from Outside In will be donating an item of essential clothing to charity for the homeless Winchester Beacon for every item of clothing sold. Nikki Simon from Consortium in Jury Street was at the stall for Winchester Independent Businesses. She said, "There have been lots of people and it's a beautiful day to start the market." Last year, the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market saw record numbers, with more than 400,000 attending.
Vigil for Peace in Israel and Gaza. Hundreds gathered inside Winchester Cathedral in reflection and prayer for the people of war-torn Israel and Gaza. On Sunday, November the 19th, the cathedral invited members of the public inside for a moment of quiet and sanctuary. All ages took part in the Vigil of Light, including young children with their families and students who came from local universities and colleges. A cathedral spokesperson said, "The cathedral was adorned with candles, which were placed round a dove in front of the altar by visitors as a symbol of hope and peace. Thank you to everyone who came. We continue to pray for Israel and Gaza."
Silver Jubilee tree cut down. One of two silver maple trees planted to mark the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977 outside the Hampshire County Council headquarters in Winchester has been cut down. It was felled last weekend after safety fears were raised during a recent survey carried out by specialists that the tree was diseased and that it had significant signs of internal decay. Most of the felling work was carried out on Sunday, November the 19th, with just the stump remaining by Monday. This has been cordoned off with railings. The next stage of work will see the stump and root removed, and preparations will be made for a replacement. The council said that options other than complete removal had been considered. But because the trunk was starting to lean, posing a possible risk to passing vehicles and pedestrians, it was decided chopping down the silver maple would be the safest course of action to pursue. However, following very careful examination by specialists, said Councillor Rob Humby, the leader of the County Council, who uncovered the significant decay, "regrettably we have no option but to begin its removal to ensure both vehicles and pedestrians can continue to use the area safely. We are giving much thought to an appropriate replacement, which we hope to plant in 2024, and are pleased that surveys show that the other silver maple currently remains in good health. Pedestrian access to the area was limited while the work was carried out by work teams at Elizabeth II Court on Sunday."
Comedians raised more than £11,000 for hospices. Naomi House and Jack's Place have raised more than £11,000 with a comedy night at the Theatre Royal. The event brought together a range of comedians, with all the money raised going to support the work the hospices do. The evening, which sold out, was hosted by Winchester comedian Paul McCaffrey, who was joined on stage by Ranganathan, Callie Beaton, Esther Manito and Bemi Oladipo. Alongside the stand-up routines, the audience could also take part in a raffle during the intermission, with the top prize being a signed poster from the event. All of the performers volunteered their time for the evening. After fees, the rest of the money raised will fund approximately 500 hours of nursing care. Paul McCaffrey said, "What a fantastic night. It was an honour to be asked to help organise this event for such a wonderful organisation. I'm so delighted with how it went. All of the incredible acts gave their time for the cause and put on a great show, and the audience was an absolute dream. I can't wait to do it all again next year. Charlotte Patrick, events team leader at Naomi House, said, "We're absolutely delighted to have this all-star lineup of comedians supporting the hospices at Theatre Royal Winchester. We look forward to seeing you all again next year with another exciting lineup of fantastic comedy." The hospices have a newsletter which advertises all the events it holds, including future comedy nights. To sign up, visit the Naomi House website.
Carol Concert to raise funds. A Christmas carol concert is coming to Winchester to raise money for the local branch of the Samaritans charity. St. Peter's Catholic Church will be hosting the event on Friday, December the 15th at 7:30 p.m. with tickets available on the door or online. The Adorama Singers, conducted by John Lunt, accompanied by the organist Jamel Sutton, will be performing a mixture of familiar carols and a sprinkling of newer pieces, with the opportunity for the audience to sing. All funds raised will go towards supporting the work of Winchester Samaritans Branch. Councillor Angela Clear, the Mayor of Winchester, will be there to support the charity. The Mayor said, "Volunteers at the Winchester branch of Samaritans answer hundreds of calls from people in distress and provide support for local people in various settings. I'm delighted to support them at their Christmas carol concert and hope other local people will join for a festive celebration and a chance to contribute towards the charity's vital work." Wayne Fletcher, director of Winchester Samaritans, said, "This fundraising event will help save lives and support our community. Samaritans is available 24 hours a day, every day of the year, to provide emotional support to anyone who needs us. In a typical month, the Winchester branch of 120 volunteers answers 1,600 calls, spending 500 hours on the phone."
City needs to build new council estate. A former senior city councillor is again calling on civic chiefs to develop a 21st century council estate. Ian Tate, now a planning consultant, has been pressing the City Council to look at a modern version of Stanmore, which was one of the first purpose-built estates in the country 100 years ago. Mr. Tate, former portfolio holder for New Homes Delivery, renewed calls for the development at a Winchester City Council Cabinet housing meeting on Tuesday, November the 14th. In response to the City Council's latest housing strategy, he said, "I have to question if this gets to the bottom of the chronic problem of affordable housing stock. For many years, I have argued that we should be looking for enough land to build a 21st century council estate. As the council is the planning authority, it can grant itself planning permission. So it could potentially buy farmland fit for housing. This was the approach when the majority of the council's housing schemes were brought forward. Stanmore, Wick and Highcliffe, and that's just mentioning the Winchester-based areas. I must repeat again my strong suggestion that the council buys enough land to build a brand new council estate. Social housing tends to be built at a far higher density than open market housing, therefore is less land hungry. Barton Farm, 93 hectares, had a recommendation of 20 to 30 dwellings per hectare, yet they only delivered 2,000 homes. They could have delivered almost 5,000 homes on that site. Winchester is a huge district. There is land to be built on. There is a site out there for a big housing estate." Councillor Chris Westwood, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, "You are preaching to the converted. The main issue is that we have the housing earmarked for development through the local plan. Building at the moment is very expensive. Councillor Kelsey Learney said, "I would love to be able to do what Mr Tate is suggesting, but we need to turn to the basic economics of this. That puts us in a difficult position." This came as the committee approved a housing strategy which covers 2023 to 2028. The strategy covers a range of housing including 659 affordable homes.
News presenter receives honorary doctorate in Winchester. A BBC News presenter has received an honorary doctorate in Winchester. Clive Myrie, who is known for presenting the BBC News at 6 and BBC News at 10, received the doctorate on Friday, November the 17th at Winchester Cathedral. At the ceremony, he spoke about his recent experiences in Gaza and the West Bank in his speech. He struck a note of hope, saying that what seemed an intractable conflict could be resolved in the same way peace had been achieved in Northern Ireland. He said, "I hope and pray that behind the scenes there are those with the imagination and determination to find a lasting peace." The journalist has covered huge news events from the death of Queen Elizabeth II to the war in Ukraine. He became the new host of Mastermind and Celebrity Mastermind in March 2021 after John Humphreys stood down after 18 years.
Work on sports store starts. Work on Winchester's newest sports shop is underway, with the retailer hoping to open before Christmas. Workmen are busy fitting out the former New Look shop inside the Brooks shopping centre, ready for Sports Direct to move in next month. Yarrow Estates Limited, a consortia for investors led by Winchester-based investors and developers Gentian, bought the centre in January and has been working with the Brooks management team, its tenants and Winchester City Council to improve the centre by securing new tenants, reducing energy wastage and improving visitor experience. Simon Turpin, director and asset manager, said, "We are very pleased to welcome Sports Direct back to Winchester. The Brooks is the perfect location in the city centre for them, where the large-sized unit they wanted can be provided, alongside other great brands, and at a much lower per square foot rent and rates than on the High Street. We expect to see a significant increase in footfall when they open, which will in turn benefit all our other tenants. With other new tenants agreed and due to be announced in the new year, the shopping centre has been fully let out for the first time in decades."
Villagers lose lorries battle. People living in Kingsworthy have lost their battle after a second planning application to double the number of lorries entering the EcoGen recycling site was granted. This plan was refused in January based on potential disturbance due to the increased number of lorries, but a revised plan has now been approved. EcoGen Recycling Centre can double lorry movements from 40 to 80 and increase the maximum annual tonnes of waste from 30,000 tonnes per year to 60,000, despite more than 140 current objections and 1,006 signatures on a protest petition. At a regulatory committee meeting on Wednesday, November the 15th, councillors and people living in the village were disappointed as the highway officer, who was supposed to address all the highway concerns related to the application, was absent due to illness. Seven residents and local councillors spoke about the impact of the centre's bid, including fatal crashes, damage caused to roads and air pollution. Resident Rosamond McCarthy blamed the county council for the future loss of meadows, wildlife and countryside. Kingsworthy Parish Councillor Senior Biddle said she was sad to be here again but not surprised. Councillor Biddle said, "The pavements are very narrow. School children and all members of the community regularly use the lane. The proposed modifications have not demonstrated the resolution of the safety issues. We don't feel our concerns have been addressed. Hundreds of personal objections and parish councils seem to be given little or no consideration. Clearly, the real life experience of 40 HGVs per day through Loveden Lane is appalling, unsuitable, and double it would be horrendous for our community and will destroy the character of our village." City Councillor Steve Cramoisen said that highway safety, damage to the highway and cost to the county council finances were more than enough reasons to reject the proposal. On behalf of EcoGen Recycling Centre, the representative said local safety concerns hadn't been disregarded, but more lorries, quote, would not cause severe highway safety impacts. As such, the highway authority continues to raise no objections, unquote. The application was approved with the support of 9 councillors, 1 abstention and 6 against.
Speculative idea refused. Planners have rejected a new speculative office building in the countryside near Otterbourne. The scheme on land southwest of Woodlands Park, Poles Lane, was for flexible office space. The proposal was recommended for refusal due to its location in the countryside. It was quashed by Winchester City Council's Planning Committee on Wednesday, November the 15th. Speaking in support, Councillor Adrian Brophy said, "Demand for spaces like this are inherently hyper-local. There is an opportunity for more people to enjoy this area." Applicant George Scott Welsh said, "There are huge local waiting lists which can't satisfy the need. The need is replicated at all of our sites." Planning consultant Louise Cutts added, "This is the only opportunity that has come up in 5 years. If this isn't approved, I don't know where the start-ups will go." City Council Planning Manager Lorna Hutchings advised the committee to refuse the scheme. She said, "This is unchecked office development. It sets a strong precedent. We can't expose ourselves to speculative new builds." Councillor Chris Edwards said, "There is much to like here. It's innovative and imaginative. The design is to be commended. But it remains the case that this land is outside the settlement boundary. We have clear policies to protect the countryside. In my view, it's an attractive proposal in the wrong place." The scheme was unanimously refused.
Cafe to host first crafts market for Christmas. The Handlebar Cafe will host artists and crafters and entrepreneurs at its first Christmas market. The event comes after the cafe on St. Catherine's Hill has been affected by ongoing road closures due to the bridge replacement work on Garnier Road. The road is scheduled to be closed until February next year, with reduced footfall in the area. Cafe manager Lee Banks said, "After a difficult year due to the road closure, we're pleased to host a community event with local businesses and charities coming together to celebrate Christmas. We want to highlight the wonder of the season and offer a creative alternative to the busy cathedral Christmas market. The Handlebar Cafe is part of the Bespoke Biking social enterprise, which donates its profits towards supporting cycling in Winchester. The charity has helped to provide 6 refurbished bikes to young people in need by working with local charity, Friends of the Family, who will be exhibiting at the market. Alongside local charities, the market will have pet photography, artwork, food and crafts on offer. Meanwhile, the cafe will be serving hot turkey rolls alongside special seasonal hot chocolates. Heather Evans, director of Bespoke Biking, said, "We hope the market will be an alternative showcasing local businesses, crafts and charities. The market will be open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on December the 9th and December the 10th.
Demolition work at former medical centre. Scaffolding has been put up around part of a derelict medical centre as demolition work continues. Demolition of the Friarsgate Medical Centre began at the start of October, with the internal fixtures and fittings being removed. The building will be replaced by an open space as a meanwhile use, as part of the larger Central Winchester regeneration scheme. Workers have been removing the internal fittings before putting up scaffolding ready for the demolition of the exterior. An October Winchester City Council meeting heard that the demolition would be complete by Christmas."
Savage cuts plan criticised. Hampshire's plan to make bleak cuts to services to save money has been heavily criticised, with the public consultation labelled pathetic and biased. Hampshire County Council, HCC, is expected to face a budget gap of £132 million by 2025-26. For that reason, the council needs to plan 2 years ahead to avoid issuing a Section 114 notice, effectively declaring bankruptcy. A savings programme has been developed to save £90 million. This includes the potential loss of school crossing patrols, the reduction of services and grants, or freezing spending on highway maintenance. The package was approved during a full council meeting on November the 9th, in which the Conservative Party and its local leader, Councillor Rob Humby, were heavily criticised by opposition groups. Leader of the Liberal Democrat group, Councillor Keith House, said the current situation is bleak and will worsen unless something radically changes. He said, from his point of view, the saving proposals are savage and won't be enough since £71 million still needs to be found. "The current situation is really bleak and it's getting worse. The proposals here do rely on another £57 million to be taken from reserves, with an ongoing cap of £42 million each year, even before looking at what demographic change suggests will be even further and deeper cuts if we get to the position of having this debate again in 2 years. This is a national local government crisis across the entire country and could include some of our neighbours like Southampton." For its part, Labour leader Councillor Alex Crawford, who again mentioned the autumn statement, said that waiting leaves the council in limbo. "Where will the council find the money for spending in 2025-26? Is the council really approaching that tipping point, going over the cliff edge and unable to meet the legal duty to balance the budget?" Speaking about the public consultation, he called it pathetic, biased and overcomplicated for residents. Although the leader of the independent group, Councillor Andy Tree, welcomed the consultation and endorsed what Councillor Crawford said, his group found it unacceptable for the most vulnerable residents in Hampshire. "We recognise the thankless task the administration has and have no doubt in their integrity in wanting to do their best for Hampshire residents. The choices are bleak. To be fair, the administration has opted to strive to balance the books in the least destructive way possible and stave off effective bankruptcy for at least the immediate years ahead. Regardless of how well-intentioned this plan is, it will surely harm our most vulnerable and lower-paid residents, and that is not acceptable." Starting in early January 2024, a second public consultation will take place on certain proposals following a decision by the full council. Final decisions will then be made by individual cabinet councillors later next year.
charity bid to raise £30,000 after 30 years. A charity supporting families in Winchester celebrated 30 years by setting an ambitious goal. Friends of the Family is aiming to raise £30,000 in its birthday year and has secured match funding for half of its goal. This means for every £1 raised up to £15,000, another £1 will go to help Winchester parents and children facing adversity. The charity's founding project, the Mums and Young Children Group, continues to offer speciality group counselling and play therapy to young families 30 years on. The organisation has expanded to include the befriending programme for 5 to 13-year-olds and a service supporting dads in prison in maintaining positive relationships with their children. This year, the charity has supported 75 local families. Operations Director Joe Smith said, "We are proud of the work we are already doing in our community, but sadly the cost of living crisis has left even more families at breaking point." Chris Bale, Chair of Trustees, said, "It felt very important to come together to acknowledge and to thank everyone that has played a part in making the charity what it is today, and to highlight the continuing need of many families in our hometown."
Two modern plan given green light. Planners have approved an application to build a new office and retail space in Bishop's Waltham. The proposal, put forward by Sabrecore Holdings, will see some existing buildings at the old forge on Brook Street demolished to make way for the offices. The City Council Planning Committee discussed the plans on Wednesday, November the 15th. Speaking against the application, Chris Ford from Bishop's Waltham Parish Council said it was contrary to the local plan. He said, "Whilst we acknowledge the designers have changed the first floor plans, we still feel that the overall impact visually is not in keeping with the surrounding area at all. It's far too modern. It's just too modern, we think, for the entire area it's going to be sat in." Toby Winsor, who supported the application, told the committee, "This proposal not only adheres to the principles of the relevant planning policies, but also embodies a vision of a thoughtful design aimed at enhancing Bishop Waltham's town centre. The transition from a dated one-and-a-half-storey existing building to a modest two-storey structure employs sustainable, high-quality materials chosen to respect the historic context and contribute positively to the area's evolution." The planning committee unanimously voted for approval.
Hundreds of boxes of Christmas cheer are on their way. Winchester Rotary has contributed 638 Christmas shoeboxes and more than 200 woolen items to this year's Wessex Rotary Christmas shoebox scheme. Each year, members of some 50 Rotary clubs in the Wessex district organise the collection, checking, categorising, packing and dispatching of 18,000 shoeboxes filled with gifts for disadvantaged children in Moldova, Montenegro, Romania and Ukraine. This year, Winchester Rotary has been given jumpers, scarves, hats and gloves, as well as blankets knitted by a number of local craft groups, including Winchester Inner Wheel. Winchester Rotarian Colin Cook, who coordinates the shoebox collection in Winchester, said, Our thanks from Winchester Rotary go to the 7 local primary schools, 4 nursery and church groups, and the many individual donors who have helped us bring joy to so many children this Christmas. We are also grateful to Chesil Theatre for helping us with the creation of a video explaining the scheme. It has proved very successful and remains on our website.
And finally, the story of swans on the Itchen navigation has not always had a happy ending. Last year, one swan was so aggressive in protecting its nest from rowers from Winchester College that the school got permission to kill the eggs and remove the bird, sparking national newspaper coverage. Anyway, Andrew Napier, who is a reporter on the Hampshire Chronicle, was pleasantly surprised to see 6 swans queuing up as if for a bus at the College Boat Club on Doman Road, Wharf Hill, last Friday. And he took a photograph of it, and so it's here in the paper. So let's hope that the college rowers do not experience any of these swans defending their nest next spring in a similar fashion with all that follows. That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on OWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 4 p.m.